Hey, thanks for checking out the Axiom Podcast. It's a podcast feed by Axiom Church in Arizona. We really just want to host some conversations about what we think God is up to in our community and in our world. And we also want to post our sermons from our Sunday gatherings. You can get all that here and more. So definitely interact with us on our social medias. It's all under Axiom Church AZ, and our website's axiomchurchaz.com. Thanks for checking us out. Hope you enjoy.
Classic Easter move there on the microphone. Thank you, devil. Hey, greetings and welcome to Axiom Church. I'm Pastor Gavin, and many of you I know, thank you for choosing to be here today. You had many options, but you chose to come and be with us, so thank you so much for that. We are obviously celebrating Easter, and we've titled this Easter Awe and Wonder because we believe that's the most appropriate response if the truth is that Jesus came back from the dead. If that's real, then that is an appropriate response. But often, our lives don't reflect that kind of awe and wonder. But just suspend suspicion for a second and assume that Christ has rose from the dead, then how is it that our lives ought to look in the most regular places, not just the mountaintops, but even the lower spaces? Because the reality is, some of you, many of us, actually, all of us have experienced Good Friday in some form, haven't we? All of us have experienced some challenge and difficulty, pain and sorrow, disease and sickness. All of us have come close to death's door in some form or another. And so how do we have awe and wonder when sometimes Easter still feels like Good Friday? That's a real thing. And yet, here we are. Here we are. We've just gone through years of COVID. We've gone through years of inflation in the marketplace. We've gone through deconstruction movement. We've gone through all sorts of challenges, wars that are happening in the world. And if I'm honest with you, that's tugged at my relationship with God. That's tugged at my cognitive reasoning for God. That's tugged at my question mark when it comes to the Easter reality. It's messed with me a little bit, but I stand here today and what I want to say to you is that, well, I don't know what all I still believe in, but what I do still see loud and clear as ever is Jesus. That through the whole storm, if something transcended it, it's Him. He's still standing. And that gives me great hope. And so I just say that because I don't know where you guys are at, but there's a lot we could debate about or talk about. But what I want you to hear today is that no matter how hard it's been, I just hope that Jesus is still standing for you. And I believe that He is. Because otherwise, we're going to be tempted to see Jesus and to detach from Him. We're going to have disillusionment. We're going to be discouraged and disenchanted with the story of Easter. And that's real tempting. It really is. But here's the thing. Valerie Carr says this, that wonder is where love begins. Awe and wonder is where love begins. Failure to wonder is the beginning of violence. And what she's saying here is that if we lose the capacity to consider the potential, if we lose the capacity to hold what might actually be true, that Christ has risen, that it's possible that in that detachment that we place it on a shelf, we otherize it, we put it over here in the category of, oh, just a religious smart guy or something like that. We do this with each other all the time, by the way. We lose our curiosity, the mystery, and the wonder with one another. And it allows us to not have to love, not have to get close. But today I want to get close. I want us to be amazed because I think there's good reason to be. And we've just been going through Lent and this season of stripping away and asking, what is it? We just want the real Jesus. I don't want the Jesus plus all the things that we attach to Him. I just want, I don't need Macho Man Randy Savage Jesus. I just need the Jesus of the Bible, the Jesus of the Gospels, the Jesus as Jesus speaks for himself. That's who I want to get to know this season, this Easter morning. And so I want to let him speak for himself because he actually tells us in John 11, he says this. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? And so Jesus comes to us. He says, this is who I am. Now, you might say I'm somebody else, but this is who I say I am, which means that's who we have to come to terms with. But in this message of who he is, he also tells us something about who we are to him. And then we have to ask, well, do I believe that about me? Or have I believed a different story? Because that story, that message, what it communicates to us is that there are no dead ends. That even if you feel like you're still in the tomb and life feels like the tomb, that there is resurrection, not just in for him, but for you also. And that is where we get to live out of. That's what gets to inspire our hardest places. We can live there. So today we celebrate that truth, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He is risen. God is not dead, and either are you. Either are you. Now, you've heard that before. And I'm not the first one to give you that good news. Actually, the first one to give it to us, I don't know if you know this, but it was Mary. And earlier we saw that. Callie shared that with us. She's actually the first one to tell us about this. She is the first evangelist. She's the first apostle, the one who first sees Jesus as he really is. And so I wanted to give credit where credit's due. Ladies, Mary had it first. She saw it. She knew what it was. She figured it out. And guys, I'm sorry, but where were you? Seriously, look at the story. We know Judas betrayed. We know Peter denied, and the rest of them fled. But Mary was there. And so was the aunt, and so was Cleopas, and so was Mary Magdalene. And so the guys were missing, but the girls were there. Now, for Mary, we know that her story with Jesus starts in a difficult place. It starts in the tomb, really. She is suffering. She is riddled with difficulty. She's dealing with demonic possession. And we could go on about what we think that is, but I'll just say that she was experiencing real struggle like you and I do, at minimum. And Jesus comes to her, and he delivers her from not one, not two, not three, not four, not five, not six, but seven freaking demons. She's dealing with hardship. And from that moment, when he delivers her from that, she stays with him. She doesn't leave his side, not at the cross, not when he's hanging up there for 6 hours. He's still there. She's still there. When he says his last words, still there. She impresses me. In John 20, we read this about her encounter. Verse 1, early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, when things were still hard, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb. She went to the place of mourning and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. Move ahead to verse 11. Now Mary stood outside the tomb, crying. She's upset. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. And they asked her, "Ma'am, why are you crying?" And she says, "They have taken my Lord away," she said. "And I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. And he asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it that you are looking for? That's a question for all of us, by the way. Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Of course she would. She's willing to do and be with whatever she has to do. Jesus said to her, "Mary." And she turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them." There he is sending her to go tell, to communicate the message, to say it for the first time. "I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. Now, there's a lot happening in this passage, and I want you to see not just that she's faithful to him and she was there, but while she's there, she is still in the pain, and she is still struggling to see Jesus for who Jesus is. She mistakes him, and is it possible that we, in all the world events and all the life events, struggle to recognize Jesus when it's Jesus that's there with us? Is it hard for us sometimes to interpret the who and the where? And I'm just going to spoil that for a yes. Because sometimes it doesn't look like Jesus. And sometimes it doesn't feel like Jesus. And yet to her surprise, to her awe and wonder, that she comes in sorrow, but she leaves in joy. That's the death and resurrection. That's the shift that he introduces when he calls her by name. And here's the reality. We need to hear our name. We need to hear Jesus call our name. The gardener was first seen as an enemy. "Where have you taken him?" But now, no, it's Jesus. And at that moment, at that realization, at the place of awe and wonder, she throws herself on the ground. She wants to grab a hold of him. She wants to worship him. She wants to do whatever. She has the appropriate response and connection. It's the beginning of connection. It's the beginning of new knowledge. It's the beginning of new life for her. The boundary between Mary and Jesus is shattered when he calls her name. The disillusionment of who she thinks he is to who he actually is shattered when she hears his name. Now, he is also the gardener. I want to point that out real quick. Mary might not have put this together, but we can. Because we know the story in the garden. What happened in the garden? That man and woman turned from God's will. But now there's a new Adam in the house, and a new garden, and a new creation. And where man and woman turned from God's will, we saw in the Garden of Gethsemane that Jesus affirmed the Father's will. And so there's this thing that's happening in the backdrop, whether we see it or not. She tastes and sees now, though. But it's not, okay, so he doesn't just show up to her, though. When we look at all the stories, they all have the same response. Awe and wonder. From here, he goes to the upper room and he meets them in their fear. They were in locked doors. They were hiding from the religious leaders. They thought they were going to be crucified too. But guess who shows up? Unexpected. And to their surprise, and what does he say to them in their fear? "Peace be with you." And the disciples, it says, were overjoyed. appropriate response. So Jesus turns sorrow into worship in Mary, and then fear into joy in the upper room. And then he goes to the road of Emmaus. And the other disciples, they were downcast, it says. They were downcast as they were walking from Jerusalem when a stranger came to them. They did not recognize who it was. They had a problem with their seeing. But you know the story? As he's talking to them, they start to wonder. They start to be amazed at the knowledge that this person has. And they say, hey, you need to come and eat with us. And as soon as he broke bread at the table with them and he said their name, they realized who he was. And he disappeared before their eyes. And they began to worship. Easter, awe and wonder. "Were not our hearts burning within us," they said. Wow. Then Thomas, not fear, not the sorrow, not the downcast, but the doubt. "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands," and because he'd heard now, he'd heard with his ears, but he hadn't seen with his eyes. "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand onto his side, I'm not going to believe." Well, who shows up and says to Thomas, "Go ahead, put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas turned and said to him, "My Lord and my God! It's you." And he goes from doubting to shouting in proclamation, "My Lord, my God." Easter, awe and wonder. And then maybe my favorite appearance was with Peter and a few of his friends, because he comes to them and guess what they're doing? They're fishing. They go fishing. You know how we're going to deal with this agony we're having? We're going fishing, honey. In John 21, it says, Jesus goes down to the Sea of Galilee and finds Peter fishing. Of course, no surprise. And he says, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" Now, pause. This is his first appearance. What was Peter's first introduction to Jesus? It was down by the Sea of Galilee. And they were fishing. And he said to them, "I'd like to make you fisher of men." And they go and they follow him. Peter starts with following Jesus, but he ends with running away. So Jesus says, "Well, let's try this again, but this time, in my resurrection." And he comes and he calls him to the shore. And he just says, "Hey, can we have breakfast together?" I love that. And they eat fish. Peter, appropriately, dives out of the boat naked. I think he's naked, if I remember right. That's an odd part of the story. But who cares? It's resurrected Jesus. No time for clothes. I'm pretty sure he throws something over. I don't know. I wasn't there. But that's the appropriate response, isn't it? The Great Commission, he meets them on the mountain. They all fall down and they worship his feet. Okay. That's what we hear in the Gospels. But you know what? I've heard that story 100 times. Not just in the Gospels, but for many of you. I've heard Jesus call me by name. I still remember when I realized that, "Sweet Lord, it's time. I'm being called here. I gotta go. I gotta follow." So as he calls me by name, the invitation is then for me to turn and call him by name. Paul tells us that, by the way. Go ahead. He says, confess his name with your mouth. Jesus is Lord. And believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. And you too will be saved. So, Jesus knows your name, Mary, Peter, Thomas, Gavin. Fill in the blank. He also knows your sorrow. He also knows your doubt. He also knows your fear. He also knows your fishing hobbies. He knows you. And he wants you to know him. That's what he's really after, is this intimate relationship. I know we've told you it was about other things in the past, and I'm sorry. He's not interested in your behavior as much as we've told you he is. He does care about that. But the first thing he cares about, the thing he prioritizes above all the other things, is he wants to know you intimately. Scary close. Because it turns out, as you spend time with him and you get to know him, you start to change. And I think a lot of Christians struggle to get close to Jesus. They look a lot like the stories we read in the New Testament, where they follow Jesus, but they don't yet quite look like him. We get that later on. But it's through that cultivation of an intimate relationship that happens. So I invite you to call him by name today, to receive the gift of eternal life, which Jesus says, eternal life is to know me. That's what he says. That's how he defines it. I want that for you. I invite you to call his name today. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, on this Easter day, may awe and wonder be ours. May we be appropriately inspired. May we respond in accordance with the angels. May we respond in accordance with the will of the Father. May we respond in accordance with the appropriate response to your resurrection truth, that you refuse to let death take you because you cared about us way too much. I want to say this last thing. I know I said Mary was the first to see the resurrected Jesus. I lied to you. The first were those that were in Hades. The first were the dead. So I don't know how far gone you feel, but Jesus just wants to whisper your name. He wants to be with you, and he'll do whatever it takes. Join us as we worship.